Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world? You just tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, and wealthiest sister in the world. That's right. My name is Cherie Humphrey, and I am the proud president and founder of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and Talk to Me Talent Events, and Talk to Me Media. I want to thank you so much for tuning back in. I mean, this right here is going to be an awesome show. I am so happy right now that God has just opened up the doors and allowed me to be blessed by the artists that are going to be coming on tonight. In fact, one of them is a returning guest. But so where I am celebrating 10 years of doing this. I don't even know where the time went. I don't even know, you know, how it all happened. All I know is that God kept allowing me to keep pushing and just doing this show under all types of pressures. And it has truly, truly been a blessing. And I thank you all. I thank you all for listening, for sharing. Please share this episode with somebody. Sit back and just enjoy. You know, we're all in because of the coronavirus. So just enjoy it. You know, send it to a friend. Let them know that this show is happening. And it's going to be an awesome one at that. We have done like over 170 episodes, reaching over 10,000 listeners. And I've interviewed over 300 people. And when I say we, I'm talking about Diamonds in the Rough, and I'm talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because if it wasn't for that, I would not have continued with this broadcast, and I would not have been able to reach all the people that I've reached and the people who have touched me. I just want to go over just a few names of people that have actually graced this show, and I've had some awesome people on, from celebs to non-celebs. such as Carmichael the Music Lover, Wendell B., C.C. Peniston, Curtis Blow, Melba Moore, Glenn Jones, J.P. Justice, Drew Frazier, Gerald Kelly, J.J. Harrison, Capone, FSW, Janice Dent, Stacey Ladislaw, Christopher Williams, Doobie Powell, Keisha Rainey, Hope Flood, and Riff. Also, my former manager that came on, Robbie Jenkins, and so many more wonderful people that really have taken the time out to actually make this show happen and make it a blessing, not just to me, but to other people who may be listening. I do want you to remember to order my books. I have 13 paperbacks out, including the book that my niece wrote, 4 ebooks that's under my name, and also June West. Check that out. It's on Amazon. If you would like customized artwork, I am an artist as well. I do charcoal, I do acrylic, a watercolor, regular drawing, painting. If you like something that is customized or any of the artwork that I have out there already on Etsy, you can just hit me up. All my information is right here on the show page where you can contact me via text or email. Also, I'd like to send condolences to people who passed away from this COVID virus. And I just want to send my condolences out to the family and friends of anyone that might be listening that knows someone that passed away and succumbed to this particular virus. I know just this past week we lost Jack Bryant, who was president of the NAACP in Stanford, whom I knew. Also, my sister Tammy lost her stepfather, Otis. So I want to send blessings out to his family. And my sister's husband, Sean Evans, who passed away, which was a shock to everyone. Just keep our family in prayer. I just want to send my condolences to his parents and his siblings and my nieces, you know, and Camry, and anyone that knew Sean and loved him. He owned the barbershop on Richmond Hill, and he used to own a club. You know, he was very, very popular in Stanford, and a lot of people knew him as a really good guy. So I just want to send condolences out to my family as well. Also, I do want to celebrate birthday and celebrate life at the same time. This month in April, I celebrated Pinky Poo, which is my niece who wrote the book, my sister Tammy, my great-nephew Cammy Cam, my cousin Katrina, my niece Jasmine, and my godson, who is in North Carolina. He is a coach at Fayetteville University. So I just want to send birthday shout-outs to them if I haven't already done that. Now, you already know this show is the foundation of this is the Word of God. No matter what music I play, I must give some scripture base. And we're talking about celebrating whatever it is that you're celebrating. And today I'm celebrating 10 years of doing this radio show. Coming from Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Psalms 95:2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. Psalms 126:3 says, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. And we are definitely glad anybody that is listening to this show is still alive. So whether you're a celebrity or not, you have your life, and God willing, your health and your strength if you are listening to this show. So we are celebrating that as well. Exodus 23:16 says, also you shall observe the feast of the harvest of the first fruits of your labors from what you sow in the field. Also the feast of the ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in the fruit of your labors from the field. Romans 12:16 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And so Like I said, I'm going to take a quick music break. I'm going to play one of the songs that my first caller has done, and is definitely one of my favorites when I first started listening to him in the year 2000. And this is a magnificent guy, and he has done so much in the music industry, you know, multi-Grammy-nominated, award-winning artist. So I don't count it lightly. I am truly honored because I have been wanting to interview him for the longest. And so I do want to play Vibe, which is one of his cuts off the Country Boy album. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to read his bio and interview him right after that, God willing.
Baby girl, you know I never asked you to do anything you wasn't ready to do. You see, I realize that making love to your mind is much more important than making love to your body. So sit yourself right down.
And you're trembling. Why is it hard for you to breathe? If you're not ready, please tell me. Cause there's no reason for you to leave. Stay with me if I.
That was Calvin Richardson's Vibe off the Country Boy album. You are listening to Talk to Me, and this is our celebration show for 10 years on this particular broadcast. I want to thank you for tuning back in. I am going to start reading the bio of this man because he has done so much in the industry. It's just amazing. And I am just honored once again, like I said, to have the privilege of going to be interviewing him. So Calvin Richardson, he is a multi-Grammy award-nominated singer and songwriter. All great soulmen possess an earnest and instantly identifiable sound capable of permeating your very soul. Marvin, Teddy, and Luther had it, and singer-songwriter Calvin Richardson has it too. Uncle Charlie, the iconic Charlie Wilson, calls Calvin one of the most talented artists in the business. I agree. Vibe Magazine totes Calvin Richardson Feeds Your Soul, Some Good Vibes, and USA Today declares that his gritty vocals set him apart from his smoother contemporaries. Calvin Richardson has recorded with and written songs for everyone from Angie Stone to Raphael Sadiq to Charlie Wilson. And we all know who Uncle Charlie is. He co-wrote Wilson's hit, There Goes My Baby, with Babyface. When I write, I'm writing for that hopeless romantic inside of me who deeply believes that love changes everything, says Calvin. I realize over the years that there are so many people out there that feel exactly as I do and who need that deep belief to be nurtured so that it can flourish. That's why I just write from the heart. Yes, he does, and everything that he puts out there is good. And God is my witness. Calvin Richardson came by his soulful style honestly, born in McBee, South Carolina, and raised in Monroe, North Carolina. The fifth of nine children, Calvin had a strong musical upbringing. His mother sang in the local gospel group, The Wandering Souls, and he sang with them as a youth, but he was able to listen to secular soul music and funk, and was particularly inspired by Bobby Womack, Sam Cooke, Otis Redding, and Donny Hathaway. Singing on the gospel circuit, he met and became friends with Cedric Casey Haley and Joel JoJo Haley, who went on to form the hit-making group Jodeci in the early 90s. I know everybody should know Jodeci by now. Calvin was inspired by their success to form the urban contemporary vocal group Undercover, whose song Love Slave was included in the New Jersey Drive soundtrack in 1995. When Undercover folded, Calvin launched a solo career that resulted in his debut album, Country Boy, on Uptown Universal Records in 1999. The album included a great cover of Bobby Womack's I Wish He Didn't Trust Me So Much. While Calvin was working his follow-up, Angie Stone heard a demo of his song, More Than a Woman, and invited him to duet with her on a version of the song for her album, Mahogany Soul. In 2003, Calvin's album, 2:35 p.m., named after the time of one of his children's birth, was released by Hollywood Records. 2008 saw the release of Calvin's, let me say this right, Shanasi. Oh, God, I'm messing it all up. All right, well, we're going to move on. Numo Records album went When Love Comes with its single, Saying No More, hitting the Urban AC chart. 2009 brought success via Charlie Wilson's hit rendition of Calvin's co-wrote on There Goes My Baby, one of my favorite songs on that particular album of Charlie. The same year, Richardson paid homage to one of the greatest influences with Facts of Life, powerful live-in studio tribute to Bobby Womack that garnered two Grammy nominations, one of them which was his debut duet with Sounds of Blackness powerhouse Ann Nesby. America's Most Wanted was released in 2010 and was followed by I Am Calvin in 2014. All or Nothing in 2017 that featured the hit single Treat Her Right with his friend Casey. He was inducted into the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame in 2018 and went on to release his eighth studio album Gold Dust in 2019. Gold Dust is an auditory manual for love. It is a gift from Calvin to his friends, featuring a hearty 10-track recipe for love, fueled by experience and wisdom. Calvin Richardson's Gold Dust proves with every note why he has earned the title The Soul Prince. After losing his voice in 2018, he came back strong with a new album. Calvin says, this was my first album that I ever made where I felt pressure because of my touring schedule and being occupied by writing my very first book, Do You Without Them, and the fact that I had lost my voice, which carried over into this year. I had to work with much less than 100% of my ability, but creatively, I was still there. The Grammy-nominated singer explains that when he signed the deal for the recording, he gave himself a six-week window to complete it. He adds, after my hit single, Can't Let Go, I definitely started off feeling the pressure. You know, they say pressure bursts pipes. And I thought that if this pipe burst, it would be filled with gold dust. In 2019, he released his first autobiography, Do You Without Them, which transparently tells the story of the ups and downs, twists and turns that he endured rising from a modest Southern upbringing to living the dream of doing what he loved. There's no secret to Calvin Richardson's success. He states, I stay true to myself as an artist and stay committed to making good music. As my new single suggests, I'm loving all my fans by staying humble, grateful, and always letting them know that I am one of the ones who wouldn't be nothing without them. There you have it. That is Calvin Richardson's bio, and he is patiently waiting on the line. But I just want to play too much of Looks Like You've Been Crying, which is another favorite of mine. So I'm going to play a little bit of that, and I'm going to go directly into interviewing Mr. Richardson.
Cause when it hurts, but when it leaves, it goes. So it's better to hurt a little bit now than to be so far gone and hurt a whole lot tomorrow.
Looks like you've been.
Ooh, that song just moved me. Lord have mercy. I be singing that to my friends all the time. All right, I'm going to plug my guest in right now. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Is this Calvin?
It is.
All right.
Yes,
it
indeed.
It is so wonderful meeting you, sir. It is just truly, truly a pleasure. I thank you so much for accepting the invite.
Oh, no, I appreciate you having me.
Yes, absolutely. Now, in your bio, it talks about, you know, your upbringing and your mother singing in a singing group. How did that affect you as a child?
That's just what I came from. You know, that's what I knew, and I was, you know, always exposed to it. You know, most of the people that was in my family, like, they either sang or they play instruments. So, you know, I was just kind of around it all the time. So it just seemed normal for me to be, you know, to take on the role that I did eventually.
Right, right. Absolutely. And you've been around some great people coming up and, you know, the group Jodeci and Angie Stone. Oh, my God. You know, those are some people that I really, really like. And have liked, you know, over the years. And
right.
It says that you were nominated for a multi-Grammy and were inducted into the North Carolina Music Hall of Fame in 2018. So what did that, you know, feel like knowing that your home state recognized you in such a fabulous way?
I mean, I think that trumped everything. Like, you know, like you said, I've been nominated for, I think, like 5 Grammys at this point. And I have received multiple awards along the way for different things, ASCAP Writer of the Year, for There Goes My Baby, for a lot of songs, you know. But, you know, when your home state, everybody that knows anything about me personally knows that I love the Carolinas. You know, I love where I'm from, and, you know, it's just, you know, I always look forward to going back home. And, you know, when you get recognized at home for going out and doing something that, you know, that wasn't easy and, you know, that you really love to do. And, you know, it meant the world to me. You know, it really did. Like, that was, you know, that was my Grammy. It, like I said, it trumped all of that. Yeah.
Exactly, because it's hard to impress people you know the most. And for, you know, your whole state to recognize you, that is truly like a blessing. And I congratulate you on all the awards and accomplishments that you've had. Because we're talking about celebrating today. Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
And, yeah, you're welcome. And I know what it's like being in North Carolina. I used to live in Charlotte, Winston, Raleigh. My sister's still down there. My godson, he's a coach at Fayetteville University, my friend. So I know the Carolinas pretty well, you know, far as, you know, living here.
Sure. Right.
Yes. And, yes, I can hear it in your voice, that soul southern sound coming out, that dialect.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't lost that yet.
Yeah, no, you haven't. And you're working on, well, you have done your eighth album, which is Gold Dust, that came out last year. And it was so funny because I was on the phone with my friend in New York telling her about you and that I was going to be interviewing. And she was like, I just heard his music. Doesn't he have something new out? And I was like, yes, he does. You know, and, you know, so you wrote and produced this entire album. This is all you on this one.
Well, I'd say probably like 90% of it, but I did, I collaborated, you know, with a couple of artists as well.
Okay. And what is the message that you're trying to come across? And I know you were saying in the bio that, you know, you had some issues when it came to losing your voice and, you know, you got that strength back up and the pressure you had to go through, you know, so what overall message with this particular album, because this was your eighth one, you know, and that speaks volumes. So what overall message are you trying to convey through this particular album?
Well, basically that, I mean, I'm still here and I'm still making the same type of music that I've been doing for the last, you know, 20 years, you know, and you know, this did make the eighth album, but, you know, there's been a couple albums that I recorded that we didn't put out. But, you know, I deal with real-life situations, you know, the good and the bad side of life and relationships. And, you know, I think, you know, I try to make music that heals relationships and men's broken hearts, you know, and I built the fan base doing so. So, you know, I just try to stay true to who I am. And do what I do. I am never really along the way. I haven't really changed my approach, and the outcome has, you know, always been satisfying for me.
Yes, and because I know when I first heard you, I was in a state of brokenness because I had ended a 20-year relationship and I had lost everything. And so when your song Half the Time came on, that just hit home for me, you know, because I was in such a torn state. And listening to your music, listening to Wendell B's music now, Wendell B, and a lot of other artists that I've loved over the years, you know, music heals, you know, just like laughter. And, you know, it's just a special thing when you're able to write something that's going to hit home and bless people in such a way where you help them to cross over, you know, and that's a wonderful thing.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely, it's a blessing.
Yeah, and you know, you then went on to write your book, Do You Without Them, and, you know, I kind of have an idea, which is right there with the title, but explain what that meant to you and why you entitled the book that.
Well, I, you know, over the years, the latter part of my career, I've, you know, been I would be approached by a lot of artists that, you know, they see where I am in my career and they would ask for advice and how I got where I am and how they can get, you know, on a similar platform, you know, and what would it take, you know, to get that music heard and stuff. And so, you know, I would receive messages and, you know, I would, you know, it's tough to always respond to everybody in a similar way. Some messages that would get sent and I couldn't answer. So I decided to put it in a book and, you know, just kind of chronicle my journey through the music business on, you know, how I found success in the business for 20 years and not having some of the things that most of the people that I did know had to have in order to have found the success that they found. You know, I don't know if they necessarily had to have that, but they did have it, you know what I mean? So who knows if they could have, you know, had the same success without it, but I know that they did have it and I didn't have it. You know, a lot of the things when it came down to, the label commitment, the you know, proper management, proper marketing and promotions and stuff like that. And so, just kind of chronicle how I did it. You know, I feel like over the years I kind of built my own machine, so to speak, and recreated a whole nother genre of music because, you know, there's not many people out there that, you know, remotely even do what I do the way that I do it. So I just put it all in a book. And, you know, like I said, the book was basically about chronicling how I came through the music industry, but it's not a music industry help book. It's like it applies to any area in life, really. You know what I mean?
Right. Yes, absolutely. And I think it's a marvelous thing. I'm an author myself. You know, I have a lot of children's books out, and everybody has their niche, and everybody has something to say. And I think that you're going to help a lot of artists out there because, like, there is only one Calvin Richardson. Just put it that way. I mean, and, you know, I just want you to continue on doing your thing. Just know that up in here in Connecticut, we are listening to you. I mean, I have noticed you. I try to tell my friends, you know, this is what's going on. This is what I like. You know, why don't you check it out? And I'm just, you know, the type of person that does that. So you just keep doing what you're doing. I know that, you know, for the support of your book, you have blessed a lot of people doing food drives and giving of yourself as far as giving meals out to people in need. And this is a critical time in the country, you know, and all over the world in regards to COVID. So, you know, is there anything that you would like to say about that?
What is that? I'm sorry.
The food drive. The food drive.
You know, I think it's important to, you know, I think it's important once you get to at a certain place in life and to help other people. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I haven't always been in this position where, you know, I go back and say I remember what it's like to, you know, be hungry and not be able to eat when you want to eat as much as you want to eat, but not to the point where, you know, I wasn't able to provide for myself or whatever once I became an adult. But there, I know there's a lot of people out there that, you know, came from much more, you know, fortunate situations and have, you know, fell on hard luck and hard times and stuff like that. And, you know, they need, you know, somebody to, they need help, not necessarily just an individual, but one individual can change the lives of many, you know, just by being that helping hand or being that meal tonight, you know what I mean? That person that cares, you know, it could change somebody's life. It can, you know, get them up off the streets and get them back, you know, as an active, productive part of society.
Yes, absolutely. I know I didn't start off in very, very humble beginnings, but, you know, I wasn't rich either. But I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to have gone through all of that, and I have a master's degree. So, you know, people have different changes from whatever background they have, whether they're veterans, whether, you know, they are in a domestic violence situation or whatever. And I think that that is commendable what you're doing. All I ask, Calvin, is just be safe. Be safe out there. When you are going out, you know, to bless other people, you know, and take care of yourself. Thank you for all the music that you have done and given to the world over the past 8 albums. And, maybe you'll be on the big screen. That, who knows, maybe you'll be in movies. I don't know if that's something that you plan to do.
You know, I love watching movies and all that good stuff. But, you know, that's never been a huge aspiration of mine to be. Like, I just love doing music. I think, you know, I've been able to, you know, change people's lives through the music. And I think that's where my calling is. And, you know, the opportunity was to come along and, it was something that, you know, I found myself be able to do and be good at it and, you know, be able to help somebody along the way. Then, you know, I'd love to, but, you know, the music is where it's at for me.
Yes, absolutely. And I have to ask, because I ask everybody, can you just sing a little bit of something, just a portion of any song? Please. Anything.
Let me see. In 1 million years, I never thought I'd meet someone as perfect. I never thought that someone can make my mind go round in circles. You know, that's a little bit Can't Let Go. You remember Can't Let Go? Have you ever heard that?
Oh my God. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Don't forget my name, Cherie Humphrey of Diamonds in the Rough. I thank you once again for coming on. You sound so great. You still got it, regardless of what you've been through with your you know, voice. And it's just been a pleasure. And you look good, too. So I just wanted to say that as well.
I appreciate it. I appreciate
it. Yes.
I appreciate you taking
go.
The time.
I gotta go. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
take care.
I got to go. I got CeCe Peniston waiting. So thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye. There you have it. That was Calvin Richardson. He just released his latest 8th album called Go Dust. Before I read Mrs. Peniston's bio, I must play at least one of her songs that you probably know and you should know. So I'm going to play the most famous one that I know, and that is called Finally. And I'm going to play a little bit of it, and then I'm going to go straight into her bio.
Mr. Right, the man of my dreams, the one who shows me truth.
There you have it. That was Cece Peniston's Finally. And I am going to read a little bit of her bio. You are listening to Talk to Me Radio. This is your host, Minister Cherie Humphrey. I just want to thank you so much for tuning in. This is my celebration show, so we are celebrating each other because if without you, there would be no Diamonds in the Rough Talk to Me Radio or media. And so I just want to thank you for all that you have done, for listening in, for supporting, for anything that you might have done in helping Diamonds in the Rough over the past 10 years. And Diamonds in the Rough has been in existence since 2002. And so I'm going to get into my next guest bio and read a little bit about Mrs. Cece Peniston. Cece Peniston is a dance and R&B artist that emerged on the scene in November 1991 with the hit dance song Finally, which you just heard. She went on to have 5 top hits on Billboard in the 90s. She has performed private birthday parties for Aretha Franklin, President Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and is greatly loved by the LGBT community. Cece Peniston travels on a regular basis doing clubs, festivals, and moving largely into live band. She's also working on a new skincare line and a publishing deal. Look for Cece Peniston. She is coming to you, near you in your city, when this COVID virus is lifted, because we don't want any of our family, friends, or any of the people that we have loved so much singing and performing, acting, or whatever they do to get sick. So take care, all of you, and, you know, use precaution. But some of the highlights of her career, she performed in Ibiza at the iconic Glitterbox for over 5,000 people in the audience. She was featured on BBC Radio, 2 shows with Rylan, On the Way to the Kissatory London, historically the first performer to perform in Africa before Whitney Houston after the apartheid. And like we said, she has done private parties for Aretha Franklin, 2 inaugurations for Bill Clinton and with Hillary Clinton, currently preparing to do live band shows in D.C., Atlanta, and Chicago City Winery. She performed at the Jazz Festival in August 2019 with her hits along with Jazz Infusion, with a remake of the Beatles song she did with Bob Baldwin, Fool on the Hill. She does shows in Bali, Mount Olympia, Lehman Center in New York City, Jazz Fest with Danny Lerman and Adam Holly in October 2019. I mean, she's very modest because her bio is short, but Cece Peniston is known worldwide and has done so much in the music industry. And she looked good, y'all, still. And, you know, aging like fine wine. And I had her on my show a few years ago, and she's back on again. If you don't know her, you will get to know her. I just want to play a little bit of We Got a Love Thing. I'm going to do like a minute of that. Please don't hang up, sweetheart. Please. All right, I'm going to do that. There you have it. That was We Got a Love Thing by Cece Peniston. I am going to plug her in right now. Hello?
Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got to be like,
all right,
hey,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Girlfriend.
Yes, yes.
What's going on, Queen? How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm blessed. I can't complain. I mean, it's just this show is really just a pleasure for me. I mean, having you back on. So what has been going on with you, sweetheart, in the past several years? I mean, you look great. I see you on Facebook Live putting up your stories, and, you know, I follow you, and you still sound wonderful, and you just look fine.
Man, thank you so much. It's funny because I'm in here now meal prepping some zucchini as we speak, girl. I do
okay.
A lot of meal prep. I've been doing online workouts during quarantine,
okay,
with Fit King with Clem, Fit King Clem. That's his name.
Okay.
And he's on Instagram. So I've been, you know, staying on top of that because, you know, it's easy to get caught up and be like, I'm just going to rest. You know
right.
what I mean? So, girl, you
yep,
be like, shoot,
exactly.
I can just like in the rest. I'm sitting the hell down. just doing a couple of lives here and there, doing some interviews, you know, and
mm-hmm.
keeping connected
yes.
with people.
Yes, absolutely. And you have been keeping
connected.
And I
appreciate
connected.
The compliment. Thank you, sis.
Yes, you're welcome. You're so welcome. And, you know, I just wanted to thank you, too, as well, for all that you've done over the years. I mean, in 1991, I was in college at Wilberforce University before going to Howard, and we was rocking you back then, and I'm still rocking you right now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I appreciate it. Look, I will take all of it. I promise you, for real. I just heard you on with Calvin Richardson. I was like, Calvin is my boy. I love Calvin's voice. He is a
yes.
We call him the Prince of R&B. He is so amazing. So I'm just saying,
he
had a great interview with him. He's amazing. Amazing talent,
yes.
vocalist, performer, everything.
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, bring us back. You know, what was your childhood like? Because I'm not going by any script, and I hate going by script. I just
I
like
do
to
too.
Talk.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Me too. So, like, for me, my childhood was great growing up. I was born in Dayton, Ohio. Me and my brothers and sisters were, like, really close. I got one sister, two brothers. My father
okay.
was in the military. He was a master sergeant. We ended up moving to Arizona when I was, like, 9 years old. And we ended up staying here. And I can remember probably 11 years old. Well, actually,
right.
okay, so this is what happened. In the sixth grade, remember when you had to take the mandatory music classes and all that stuff,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
So
I
was doing music classes at that time, right? And my teacher was like, you need to come try out for the school play. And I was like, school play? I don't know nothing about this, right?
Right.
And so I ended up coming and trying out, and I ended up doing my first, like, little production. I was already playing piano and stuff. My mom was like, yo, wait a minute. She was like, I didn't even know you could sing. I knew you could play, but I didn't know you could sing. So she found out I could sing, and she was
mm-hmm.
like, I was like, Mom, I want to do this for the rest of my life. She was like, okay,
aww.
Baby, I'm just going to take you to the contest and let you just follow your dreams. Because, you know, I was telling somebody else how pinnacle that is, because sometimes people will squelch their dreams like, that's not realistic. You shouldn't be doing this, and that.
Yes.
And then you're like, well, wait a minute. And she let
mm-hmm.
me follow my dreams. And so for me, that was so huge that she just, let me be, like, you know, let me do what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so from
right,
that point,
exactly.
I was like, I was like 11. I said, my name going to be a life one day. And my sisters and brothers were like, yeah, right, go play. Right. And so then it's like I just kept doing stuff around Arizona, and that's how, like, the music scene came on from that point.
Right. Okay. Okay. And so, you know, were you around, like, musicians? Did you end up being around a lot of musicians as a teen? Because I understand that completely. You know, being very creative, artistic, and then, you know, all my mother thought about, because she worked at the post office, was do a reasonable job where you're going to get paid, and that's it. Artists, singing, that's not something that is on, you know, the table right now. So I get it. I get it, you know. And but did you eventually get around a lot of artists to help you to hone in your craft and, you know, into making you who you are right now?
But you know what's funny? I mean, you're going to laugh at this. My father used to work at the post office, too. He used to take, when I got started, right? My dad used to work at the post office. He'd be like, yo, my baby famous. Here's her cassette tape. Here's her CD. You know, and I would just crack him. I'd be like, daddy. I'm like, quit taking myself up to the people at the job. And he was like, they need to know who my baby is. I'm going to take it up there. And it was so cute to me. You know what I mean? So for I feel like, you know, I had both parents. They was like, well, that's what she want to do. We just going to let her do it. And they did. And, you know, it was so, like I said, being able to focus on your dreams and not being squelched. Like, no, don't do that. That's not what you're supposed to do. And, you know, I came from the church, right? So people always felt like, oh, she should be singing church music. In fact, somebody got on my case recently on an unsung platform of like, she done sold out, did this. And I'm like, no, I never forgot that God always has blessed me. I said, but God gave it to me, and he gave me a hit. So if he gave me a hit, that means he meant for me to be out in the world. And someone had asked, I did this on a prior interview. They said, how is it all right for her to go out in the world and sing? And the pastor was like, because she's going to touch lives that you can't touch.
That's right. Hello.
Right.
Exactly.
He said, good or bad. Her testimony, good or bad, will help another person.
That's right. That's right. And it's something that you have, that you have given to us, because Finally is a classic. You know, you're a legend now.
Thank you. You ain't old,
but you a legend. You know what I'm saying?
Girl, I try not to be old. I call it a season, girl, because I be trying to be cute. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yo, you ain't got
like,
nothing to worry about in that department. You good.
Thank you, Ma.
Shoot, I need to be working out, too. I'm like, shoot, I'm in here painting and all of that. I need to be working out. But yes. So when you got into the industry and you made that first album and, you know, you just started blowing up, you know, did you have freedom, you know, to be who you were in the industry? Because I know they talk about that a lot. You know how you get locked in. Okay.
No, because they were like, we need you to be. I was probably about size 6 when I came out. You know, like, what's it called? Designers, they like about size 2, right? 2 to 4.
Wow.
So I wasn't actually like designer size. You know, you're like, they're really teeny. And I'm like, but I want to be me. Like, why do I have to be somebody else I'm not? They're like, look, this is what it is. And I used to always fight them, so I would get in trouble sometimes. I'm not even going to lie.
Okay.
And I'd be like, why do I have to be? You know what I mean? But as I got older, as I got more mature, I realized that, hey, you're a commodity. And so people are like, look, we're putting money into you. We're doing X, Y, and Z for you. You got to understand that this is what it is. And so that's why people saw me evolve as an artist. And I always felt like if I was where I was right now, like, then people would be bored with me. But now it's like, oh, she does different hair. She does different looks. It's more interesting now because I'm just doing different stuff, you know?
Yeah. And we all need to evolve. I mean, nobody should stay the same. And if they do, something's wrong. You know those people that stuck back in Jerry Curl days. You know those people that stuck back in the 1970s.
I had one, and too. I had a Jerry curl with the Michael Jackson curl in the front. Bro, I was her.
I had a wave Nouveau. Okay.
That part.
Yeah,
right.
So, you know, but we all should be evolving and learning. And nobody, you know, A. Curtis Farrell, the producer of the McDonald's Gospel Fest, because I was singing with the choir for like 10 years. And he said to me, Cherie, don't allow anyone to put you in a box to tell you you only can do one thing. If you got multiple talents, use them all. And so, you know, everything that you're doing right now was already in you 25 years ago. It was already
right.
there.
I agree with you.
You know, so it's like, you know, you're just letting it develop and you're letting it shine right now, you know, so people can understand that you're multifaceted and you're not just one thing, you know. Yeah.
Well,
so,
you know, one thing I love that
I
discovered about myself is that I like to write poetry now. I used to write poetry in high school, which is how it finally came about. But right now,
okay.
like if I can't, because, you know, the industry sometimes, you can't say everything that you want to say sometimes because people are like, yeah, that might not be greeted with happy feelings.
Right.
Because artists, we go through things. And, you know, like in the Clark Sisters story, I was talking about that. I'm like, y'all don't understand that sometimes we go through things behind the scenes, but we can't say anything because then it's looks like, okay, we're about to frown upon that. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So you got to understand
yes.
what is acceptable to say and what ain't. And like, you can't, it's not that you can't address it. It's how you address it. That's one thing.
How you address
are.
It.
How
and
you
so
address.
What do you think were, like, some of the best moments career?
Shoot, when I signed that first contract and that check came through, that was a...
Okay.
Girl,
I know that's
beautiful.
Right.
Girl, and then a check came and hit that account. And then the other things were, like, you know, just the fact that finally had hit, I had five top ten hits in mainstream
wow.
music. I came out and people loved, you know, what I had done. I was able to travel the world. Like, as a child, I had looked on a map, and I was able to travel the world and just understand other cultures. Just
right.
Be, you know what? Some people take, I will say this, some people have jobs that they do that they don't necessarily love. And the fact that
right.
I love to sing, I just don't like the shit that happens off stage. You understand?
Okay.
It's not
okay.
that I don't love music. I don't like the politics that happen off stage sometimes, but when I grab the mic, everything goes away.
Yes, everything goes away, and I agree with you totally. You know, because some people, you know, we have strong wills, you know, and it's hard, you know, to kind of tame certain things, you know, especially when we know we're right or when we think we're right, you know. You know, so I understand where you're getting at with that, and you know, you did it. You did it. You left your mark. And I just appreciate you for coming back on again. I love your mom. You know, a few years ago, your mom was like, baby, just call me if you need to talk. It's all right. You know?
That was my
you know,
girl. I'm telling you, when she passed, it was hard on the family. But I already know, like, that is my angel right there. Like, when I tell you.
Yes.
Some of the hardest things, I had to end up getting on the road probably 3 days after she had passed because I had a show, and everybody was like, are you going to cancel? I said, she wouldn't want me to cancel. I said, she would
right.
tell me to go sing. I said, and she was always like, baby, if anything happens, she said, please just go sing. That's what I want, I want you to do. And so, but it was hard because it's like underneath your heart is so heavy and you're grieving. But
yes.
it was like I already knew like that when you're at the heart level, when you sing, people feel you more than anything. You feel me?
Yes. Yes. And I can imagine. I can only imagine. She was so sweet to me, you know. And I'm so sorry that she is not here, but she's here with you in spirit. And
girl,
I'm
yes,
sure
I always say with Angel Rhinestone Wings up there running stuff. I said, boy, she up there with her Angel Rhinestone Wings, like first order of business.
Yes. All right, now, amen, amen. Yes. So, is there any last words that you want to say to talk to me, audience? That you before we you know end this particular interview, I wish it don't end because I really enjoy you know talking with you and I appreciate that you are supporting you know people from different backgrounds because you know one thing God is and that is love and when I saw here that you know that you support the LGBT well, I can't even say it right you know what I'm talking about
it's okay
and,
it's the LGBT community. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I should know that. I took like a training, but I can't get them letters out. Like, you
it's
know.
Okay.
Yeah, in Charlotte, I was trying to work at a homeless shelter for kids who had been kicked out and disowned. So I had to go through like a week training to learn stuff, and I was like floored because there was so much that I was ignorant to, you know. So is there anything that you want to say, like, on that subject before we close?
I just want to thank the LGBT community for supporting me, and I'm always supported the LGBTQ and LGBT, transgender, everything, because, you know, when finally came out, there were so many people like, yo, I came out to your song, I sang your song at my wedding, I met my man, my woman at your wedding, at, you know, just out and about, you know what I'm saying? So I thank people that, you know, when I first came out, finally, it was actually me just being in class saying, maybe like, dang, I don't have a boyfriend. Like, what would he look like? What, you know, what
right.
you know? So it was like a different interpretation. And when they embraced me and loved me, I was thankful. And, you know, to this day, I am thankful that I'm still doing shows. You know, I came out in the 90s, and the fact
yeah.
that I'm still doing what I love to do is like a blessing in itself, because there's so many people that I would say that don't get to do what they love to do. So the fact that you get
that's
to
right.
it, the support is there, is amazing. What else? I just want to say that I know that everybody's going through a tough time right now with the coronavirus. People that have passed away. People have
yeah.
people that, you know, are close to them. They feel scared. They feel like this is normal. And I'm going to be honest, within our lifetime, I never thought that I would see this. And I'm going to be honest.
Right.
You know, we always
right.
read about it in the Bible or different literature.
Yep.
But just
Revelation.
To see it is like,
yep.
damn, for real?
Yep. Exactly.
So
exactly.
I just want to send everybody yeah. love, prayers, and tell them that I do understand, because, you know, besides me being an artist, I'm still a human being and person.
That's
and
right.
It's, you know, we all have to learn to be compassionate, understand somebody else's circumstances at the end of the day. So.
Absolutely, absolutely, which is why I canceled my last show, because I found out my brother-in-law was in the hospital with the COVID. And, you know,
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. And he's passed away last week, so my family's been going through, you know, and my sister lost her stepfather. So this thing is real, you know. So I just want everybody that's listening to please use precaution, take care of yourself, wear your gloves and your mask, and Cece, you do the same, sweetheart. We, you know,
girl,
we want
I have
you around
three
a long
I
time.
I promise you.
Okay.
I promise you. And, girl, I'm keeping my ass at home. Listen, if it is not a need, sis, I'm keeping my ass at home, okay?
I know that's right.
You know, people be like, but you got lashes and lipstick on. I said, I'm going to my living room. Why can't I be cute just because we are? It makes me feel
exactly.
good, you know?
Right. You know what I mean?
You know?
Well, you do you. And, you know, is there any way you can just give us a little something more? I know you came on, you know, just giving us a little taste, but can you take us out with something real quick?
Let me see. You want something slow or something fast?
Whatever's on your heart.
Okay, so I'll say this. The talk we had on stormy nights, I often rushed away. When you were not in common sight, I was held by his embrace. I gaze
yes.
and see the pain you feel, the things we have to part. I didn't feel you love me, so I play games with your heart. It was inside that I cried. It was inside that I cried. Don't be deceived by what you saw. It was inside that hole I cried.
Oh my God, oh my God. Lord have mercy. That was just beautiful. That was beautiful.
Oh,
thank you so much. Yo, you made
thank
my
you for
day,
having me,
you know.
Sis. I appreciate you. And please
all right,
send your family, relatives my love and prayers. And be blessed.
Yes, I will. Thank you so much. Have a
all
blessed
right.
night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Bye-bye. Yep, there you have it. That was Cece Peniston. Oh, my God. I mean, I'm touched right now. I don't even know what to say, but God is good. And that song right there just shook me up real quick. So I'm about to sign off. I want to thank my guest, Calvin Richardson. It was a blessing having you on as well. A dream come true that both of you, you know, that I could say I'm almost 50 and some of my dreams have come true. And just having you, Grace, talk to me radio for a 10-year celebration has just been fantabulous. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Talk to Me Radio. Remember to order my books. Call me up. They're on my website, www.ditrfindingthespiritinme.org/books. And also to support this show, if you would like to contribute, donate any monetary gift, the information is up there, as well as if you want any customized artwork. You can see some of my artwork on Facebook. If you are a friend of mine, I will be putting some of the recent artwork up on my website as well once I am ready and everything is basically done. So thank you so much for tuning in to 10 years of Talk to Me Radio. I'm going to take you out with Won't He Do It by Corinne Hawthorne.
Ain't nobody stopping my shine. They try to break me, try to take me out, but I got Jesus on my side. So bad I thought it would die, but ain't no power stronger than the one that came and laid down his life. And I got mountains to climb, but the enemy can't stop me, cause there's a calling on my life. So when I'm crying, don't last too long, cause he gon' step in and make it alright. Won't he do it? He said he would. Fight your battles for you, they gon' wonder how you sleep at night. Won't he do it? I ask you will. Anybody tell you something different, you know that's a lie. You gon' look back and be so amazed how it turned out, it's only his lose it again. I'm about to let him know where I'm from. Don't take me there again. Just call on Jesus, my friend. Get me back in line one more time, cause he's always listening. Ain't nobody perfect, everybody's hurting. Need to whisper, Lord, save me from my weaknesses, cause they're always on time. Right. So when-